And welcome to the very first episode of 100% Newsity. This is essentially a quick episode, not on our normal day, where we just go over the newsity that we may have missed in a Radio DMG. Or if we have a Radio DMG where there's a lot of other content that we have to get to, we'll skip newsity completely and we'll do one of these. So this is the first episode of it, and here's what we're going to go ahead and do in this episode. I'm going to just read off the newsity, and then we'll have a little bit of, I'm going to play the audio pitch that we had for Holding the Bridge, and then we'll just play the ending theme. So it's really quick, easy, simple, painless. So, let me get my best news to news person voice coming up. Now, let's see. There where the buffalo roam. That's where we need to be. We can't. Nah. Anyways, the 3DS is tearing up the sales charts in Japan and has been doing so since the price drop. Oh, by the way, we're talking Nintendo news first. Usually selling more units than all the other systems combined, according to Interbrain and MediaCreate. While the system will not meet the sales goals Nintendo originally set before the price drop, it will be the number one selling system this holiday season in Japan. It sold 304 units in October in Japan, making it the best-selling system in October in Japan. That was, of course, before the launch of the 3DS Hit Parade this holiday season. That would be the releases of Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, Monster Hunter Tri-G, and so forth. Actually, since this news is after the debut of Super Mario 3D Land in Japan, I would say that Super Mario 3D Land is in a good spot already. In Japan, Super Mario 3D Land sold 343,492 units in its launch week, which actually consisted of about 2 or 3 days. To take it to the top of the chart, not bad. Unfortunately, Square Enix launched their new Rocket Slime 3DS game on the same day. It sold 38,859 units. Other items that were launched and lost quite handily to Super Mario 3D Land were Uncharted 3, Winning 11 2012, and Battlefield 3. I think that those are like monster simulators or something. I'm not sure. Anyways, the hits won't stop though, as the launch of Monster Hunter Tri-G is not too far away, as is Mario Kart 7. Since the last time that we had newsity, there were 2 Nintendo conferences and a ton of announcements. The 3DS announcements are as follows. Hardware. Europe is getting a white 3DS bundle with Super Mario 3D Land. Europe is getting a special black and gold bundle with The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D Edition. Europe is getting a pink 3DS bundle with Nintendogs plus cats. Japan received a white 3DS and a pink 3DS. The US will be getting the pink DSi XL this Christmas season. In fact, I think we already did. And the pink and white 3DS units by February 2012. A rumored green 3DS is supposedly going to launch with Luigi's Mansion in February in Japan. There are 2 new firmware updates coming out for the 3DS. One is included with Super Mario 3D Land. This is a required firmware update, and it does 2 things. It adds a joining feature to the friend codes list, as well as blocking the latest version of the R4 piracy device. The joining feature means that when you see a person playing a game online, you can join their game. This will feature heavily into Mario Kart 7 and future 3DS games. The other update is a massive one. It adds 10 minutes 3D video recording to Nintendo 3DS camera feature. You can record up to 10 minutes at a time, and there are stop motion options. Finally, you can make that sequel to The Nightmare Before Christmas that you wanted to. It adds more puzzles. This update adds more puzzles to the Street Pass Plaza, adds a sequel title to Find Me, which includes branching paths, multi-character battles, and adds the ability to see what region, state, province, and a person you Street Pass is from. The update also patches general bug fixes and enables 3DS to 3DS transferring of purchases and information. Along with that update is an update to the eShop. This update adds sorting options, downloadable game demos, more downloadable movies, support for paid and unpaid downloadable content, sleep mode downloading with cart support. In short, if you are purchasing several items at once, you can set them to the cart, hit download, then close your 3DS on its happy little cradle, then you can go do something else or take it with you. It'll apparently download like Spot Pass downloads. You'll also be able to use your PC or smartphone in the future to make purchases. This works by generating a QR code that, once scanned by the 3DS, takes you directly to your download cart and adds the item that you scanned in to your download cart, but only if you paid for it before. Nintendo also ran advertising on Okay, tests on advertising via SpotPass. The first big push via SpotPass is for Freaky Forms, which came out on Thursday, November the 10th here in the United States, where Nintendo sent a notification that it was coming out. In the future, SpotPass will be able to use to send notifications of upcoming games with a link to videos or a demo of the game from the eShop. The last bit of hardware is the CirclePad Pro. This is a cradle that attaches to the bottom of the Nintendo 3DS and uses the IR port. This device uses one AA battery to operate. Is it AA or AAA? I forgot. I'll have to write that down. This device adds three buttons, L2, R2, and R1 to the 3DS, as well as a second CirclePad. Currently, no first-party titles use this feature. However, people keep thinking that Kid Icarus might. There's seven tiles that use it. They're all third-party, and it's an optional setting. Those seven games are Monster Hunter Tri-G, which includes the pad in a bundle, Monster Hunter 4, Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy, Dynasty Warriors Versus, Resident Evil Revelations, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater 3D. Future games which may support the device have yet to be announced. Right now, the only hardware attachment that uses the iPad is the little volcano thing that comes with Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure. It's the thing that you put the little base or throne or whatnot that you put the figurines on, and it scans them into the system. It's weird. There's no hardware revision for the system at this time. The firmware update is also rumored to improve the Nintendo DS emulation even further and add more stability to the web browser. The eShop update is rumored to add NES titles to the Virtual Console for everyone and to coincide with the first GBA titles. That's something that, like I said, it's rumored. Strongly alleged. As for software, Nintendo announced 3D Classic versions of Kirby's Adventure and the NES Kid Icarus. It'll be the Famicom version, not the Famicom Disk version of Kid Icarus, which will be the first time that the NES or Famicom version of Kid Icarus has been widely available in Japan. Originally, Kid Icarus, like Metroid, were games that were released on the Famicom Disk System and then re-released later on in cartridge format where they were kind of pretty much sent out to die. They weren't really popular anywhere but here in the United States. Anywho, they also announced a new Fire Emblem Hulu Plus service for the Nintendo 3DS, a 3DS message app that is supposed to be free from the eShop. It uses SpotPass and StreetPass to send messages back and forth to people who have that and whose friend code you have. So it's a messaging service. Yep. Anywho, there's also a bunch of third-party games like VVVVV. Is coming to the eShop, as is Night Sky and Nika-chan, of course. All those are crazy indie titles that are worth playing. Two of them are from Nicalis, and there's no date yet on Zen Pinball, which is another one that's coming soon. We'll probably see that one in December. There was also an announcement that the next 3DS Zelda would be an original title built for the system, but a 3D Classics port of A Link to the Past and a 3D version of Majora's Mask are being greatly considered as well. Considering that we only know what half of the Nintendo internal teams are working on, I suppose it wouldn't hurt. Maybe they'll toss a Numa's team into the new Zelda and Grezzo onto some more Zelda ports. I'm pretty sure that I'm okay with that. Capcom announced that they want $49.99 to be the MSRP for Resident Evil Revelations, and it does not come with the CirclePad Pro despite being compatible with it. And I'm pretty sure I'm not okay with that. I think that's Capcom being Capcom, and it's good to see that most of the retailers are not going to sell it at that manufacturer's suggested retail price. In fact, both Walmart, Target, and Sears, and Kmart aren't selling it for that price. Best Buy, GameStop, and Toys R Us might. One more rumor about the CirclePad Pro is that we will probably see it quietly jump onto the store shelves near the end of December. Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy is one of the titles that can use the device, and that is out in the United States on the 15th of November. Strange. Resident Evil Revelations also can use the device and it will be out in February. The end of January is supposedly the release date for Kid Icarus, which many people still feel will be the first Nintendo-made game to use the add-on, which would be interesting. There's another rumor, too. Apparently, the current 3DS has two cores. One of them is used just for the iOS, and games can't really access it. But there's supposed to be an update in with the update to the developer's kits and with the update that we're getting at the end of November that adds the video recording, etc. Apparently, with that update, they're freeing up more of the processor that the iOS uses. So you'll be able to say, okay, this gets a little complex. There are two cores in the 3DS. One's for the OS, one for games. The updates to the OS are intended to streamline it so that part of the OS core can be used for game processing in the future. So they could technically throw some of the texture processing into the OS core and improve the graphics of the 3DS further without the need of additional chips or system revisions. I guess the 3DS apparently had more weapons than originally thought. Now, here we're going into Sony country. As for the PlayStation Vita, it's coming to the U.S. near the end of February 2012. It'll be $250 for the Wi-Fi version, and then $300 plus a contract for the 3G version, which adds a GPS as well. That comes, of course, with no games packed in and no memory card. And, heck, I'm surprised they even throw an AC adapter in there. But yeah, let's see. We've got the PlayStation Vita, which has a battery you can't change out. And, here's some more stuff that was announced. It's coming to US just like I predicted in February 2012. It's just like I predicted a few episodes back. It's region-free by Sony's definition of region-free, which means that your account is locked to a region. Also, your save files or anything you save to a proprietary memory stick is locked to the region that the account is attached to. Kind of like how you can have multiple accounts on the Sony PSP currently, where you can have one account that's a Japanese account and one account that's a English account, and you have to log into one of those via PSN. Otherwise, you won't be able to play the games that are on the system. It's weird. It's messy. It's not perfect. They also announced their PSP Passport program. It involves paying money for a single license, and only if there is a PS Vita compatible version of the game on the PSP Vita store. If you already own a digital copy of the game, you can convert it for a fee to the Vita compatible version, but you'll lose it for any other PSP. They also started limiting the amount of copies you can distribute between PSPs and PS3s. By the way, the PS1 tiles or PSP mini tiles you purchased on the PS3 or PSP are not compatible with the PS Vita. At this time, maybe in the future they will be, but for the foreseeable future, you are screwed. And Sony's like, yeah, they'll buy it through PlayStation. Sweet. No, we won't. But at least there are games for the system, right? Yep. Those will cost you $50 for a budget title and $70 for the most of the other titles. But at least you'll be able to save game data to the cards, right? Not completely. On some of the titles, yes. However, some titles, despite saving to the game card, will not even boot up if the memory card in the PlayStation Vita is not present or recognized. There's a lot of technical reasons for this, mostly anti-piracy, but the TLDR on that is that your card needs to have a specific hook in it that the PS Vita is looking for. In other words, if you don't buy the first-party card, the Vita will reject whatever card you put in there, even if it's an adapter or a third-party thing, and say, hey, we can't read this, we don't know what this is, you can't play your game. Which is really, it's kind of a jerk move. But yeah, that's what is proprietary. Most of these games, like Uncharted, won't boot up if you don't have a memory card in there, despite it saving to the card itself. I guess there's good news, though, for the Vita, right? Hey, it's got some games coming out to it. I mean, we're getting a version of games that were on other systems, like Good People Die, which will be coming to 3DS, and then a version later on for the PSP Vita. Or Disgaea 3, which was on, I think, PS3 or PS2, I'm trying to remember. And that'll be on the Vita. And then Monster Hunter Monster Hunter Portable 3G HD version or something. Well, actually, it'll be on the PlayStation 3, and then there's a version of that coming out to the Vita that's separate. But hey, there are at least three big titles I'm looking forward to on the PS Vita. There's that one game by the people who made Odin Sphere, and then there's Street Fighter versus Tekken, and what was the third game? Was it three or was it five? It's three? No, it's three. I forgot. Oops. Now back to interesting news. The top graphic is from the Mass Mario sighting in San Diego, California that took place on November 4th. There was one in Atlanta on November 11th, and there's one set for the Sunday launch of the title at the Nintendo World Store in New York. Yes. I think it's really just an excuse to get a bunch of people to dress up as Mario with little raccoon tails and just run around the city. Hey, I can support that. I can support this Mass Mario sighting movement. I can support that. Occupy the Mushroom Kingdom. No, actually, I'm kind of sick of that joke, and I'm sorry for putting the joke out there, because quite frankly, I'm just sick of those people. Ugh, all those percentages and whatnot. And worst thing is, I'm going to push out some more percentages in a moment. Anyways, Nintendo just released a press release stating that the Nintendo 3DS is poised to beat the first-year sales for the Nintendo DS. The Nintendo DS launched in November 2004 and sold 2.37 million units in the United States in its first year. About 50% of those sales were during the Christmas season. The Nintendo 3DS is going into the Christmas season with 1.65 million units sold in the USA. So Nintendo has to sell about 750,000 units in the USA by March 25th, 2012. You know there's a huge name game coming out every single month up into there? So yeah, I think they'll do it. I think they'll be able to accomplish it. So yeah, last month in October, the Nintendo 3DS sold over 250,000 units. And the Wii and 3DS are going into the Christmas season, where the 3DS has already seen a huge percentage jump in sales, and the Wii has enjoyed an 8% increase in sales as well. For a system that's not supposed to be selling and in decline, they still have an increase in sales. How weird. Actually, this is mostly due to the new bundle, which removes GameCube compatibility, and the upcoming The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. So that is all the newsity that's fit to leer at in this quick 100% newsity update brought to you by Radio DMG and your friends at DMG Eyes. And your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. And I want you to stay tuned for a quick 2 minute or so pilot pitch for Holding the Bridge and then our music. Good night. Welcome to Holding the Bridge. I'm your host, Philip Wesley. Holding the Bridge is named after the poem Horatius at the Bridge by Thomas Babington Macaulay and takes inspiration from the message of the poem. In the poem, three heroes hold back 50,000 invaders on a bridge while their countrymen work to destroy the supports of the bridge. The bridge eventually falls and the city is saved by the waters surrounding it. Therein lies the irony of the name. When doing the research for this show on education, I discovered that education news is dreadfully bad. Most of the time, it is circle-sourced through the unions and groups with ulterior motives. The majority of it is biased against students, or consists of tiny studies by tiny people working at largely vacuous universities while smoking crack on the taxpayer's dime. Then I realized what needed to be done. The world needs a show about education that actually educates the listener in as short and interesting a way as possible. Voltaire, a somewhat famous educated person, once said, "The secret of being boring is to say everything." So, I dedicate this show to saying as little as possible on the he said, she said news. I dedicate this show to making better teachers. I mean, why vomit back the latest Huffington Post article that references a New York Times article that references the original Huffington Post article? That's circle sourcing. It's not needed, and it's repetitious and boring. So, I think they can stay on the bridge. I will help save education by sawing away the supports of that bridge and hoping they drown with the barbarians. We will handle school closings, budget issues, and the ilk. But we will handle them by making calls and getting guests. There is no better way to learn than to explore. I will make recommendations for reading, tell you about documentaries, tell you what your students are into, and encourage you to expand your views on everything from intelligent design to string theory. I want you to be enriched and enjoy your time with the show. I want to bring you passion, because this is a show about educators. This is about you, the teacher. A teacher is not a glorified babysitter, nor are they supposed to be a parent substitute. The huge bridge that the barbarians are marching across was built by ridiculous expectations caused by the deification of teachers. I want you to join me in tearing down the supports of that bridge and saving the city, that shining city of education. That explains the show, so join me in holding the bridge.
Faces. Where do they come from? They look like caricatures of used car dealers from Dallas. And sweet Jesus, there are a hell of a lot of them at 4:30 on a Sunday morning. Still humping the American dream. That vision of the big winner somehow emerging from the last-minute pre-dawn chaos of a stale Vegas casino.